This kainoa, I have to honestly say that I have never learned the words because I believe that your recording is classic. No one else should have to ever record it again. And yet at the same time, we do want the song to live.
Yes.
And that's why this is such a great night, because we get to do it just one more time and I get to play for you.
Yes, that's my honor. I'm waiting on a warm and sunny seashore, yearning for the one that I adore. My heart is true, I'm thinking of you forever. I will love you.
When you think of walking through Waikiki at night, what images come to mind? Maybe traffic congestion? Street vendors? Well, how about live music? Marlene Tsai grew up in the golden age of Hawaiian music, a time when Kalakaua Avenue was full of the songs and voices that beckoned the world to the romance of Hawaii. Marlene entered that magical world at the early age of 18 and never looked back.
Long Story Short with Leslie Wilcox, produced with Sony Technology, is Hawaii's first weekly television program produced and broadcast in HD. High definition, it's in Sony's DNA.
Aloha mai kakou. I'm Leslie Wilcox. Welcome to PBS Hawaii's Long Story Short. There are only a handful of true divas in Hawaiian music, women who wrap their powerful voices with grace, elegance, and beauty. You can add to the list Marlene Tsai. This product of Kaimuki and the Kamehameha schools is quite comfortable in a business setting. But she was destined first to be a singer, an actor, even to inhabit the role of queen. This regal performer started out life with the most undignified of nicknames.
One time I was kind of in the fringe of watching what you were doing, and somebody called you Goofy, and I was just offended on your behalf. Little did I know that all of your friends and family call you Goofy.
Yep, I'm Goofy.
Why is that? How did that get started?
Oh gosh, there is a story to that. When I was little, I had very curly, curly hair, and as my parents would say, the Hawaiians would always comment and would say, oh, and the older folks would say, pupuka, referring to me. And instead of saying, oh, she's cute, oh, she's pretty, oh, she's this, they would say pupuka, and pupuka means goofy.
Because they didn't want you to get conceited?
No, because that's the way Hawaiians are. You don't compliment in that fashion. So you go, you say the opposite.
You say the opposite.
You say the opposite. So as time went on, and of course, it just kind of stuck, and the personality became goofy oftentimes, you know. And of course, my father would always say, oh gosh, he's so goofy. Well, it was he who kind of left me with that nickname. But then our entire family, we all have nicknames, you know. I have siblings. I have three brothers, a sister, and myself, and I'm right in the middle.
What are the nicknames?
My oldest brother, Ronald, his name is Jiggy.
Jiggy?
Jiggy. And he works for Kamehameha Schools. He's a retired fire captain, and he's on the gate. So you drive in, you say, hi, Jigs. My second brother, Dennis, he's a retired from the telephone company, and his nickname is Big Head.
Uh-oh.
Because when he was born, his head was a little bigger than the rest of his body. But then, as he grew up, they all kind of blended in together. And then, of course, then it's me. Then my sister just below me, her name is Yvonne Peewee.
Does that mean she was big or
she
was small?
Tiny. The story goes that they could fit her in a shoebox, and she was so small. Until today, she still is very tiny. And she still works at Kamehameha Schools. And my kid brother, Gary, retired from the telephone company, he loved Hopalong Cassidy. So his nickname became Hopalong.
And nowadays, the new generation probably wonders, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, you lived in Kaimuki, right? Nowadays, we would consider that town. But in those days, it was a bedroom community to...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what was it like living in Kaimuki in those days? Because now it's such a... I mean, it's a prime real estate because it's so close to town. I don't know if you considered yourself town folks, though, right?
No, but it wasn't town, but it was a family community. And what I liked about it is because as I was growing up, I loved the ocean. So I paddled a lot. I used to go surfing.
Did you catch the bus?
No.
HRT?
Or you walk it, you know. But no such thing. And, you know, we had our own little path made our way, because 4th Avenue never went all the way through. So you would just kind of make your way through the bushes and everything. Did all of that. Yeah. Good memories, though.
Off to Kuhio Beach Pier?
Off to Kuhio Beach. Well, you know, the wall. Mm-hmm. Okay, used to swim over there a lot, the wall. I would go to Ala Moana to paddle, because I paddled for Hui Nalu, Hui Kalia, Hialani, and yeah.
And that's a whole other kind of subculture and culture of Hawaii, the paddling community. So you're very much involved in your life, first in paddling.
Yes.
And then music. And not one of the others went into showbiz.
No. None of them did. I was the only individual from the group. And I think because you know how in life, if you're there and things happen and it's meant to be and it just develops in that fashion. And see, we were always surrounded by music as we grew up, always. And
what kind of music?
Hawaiian music and a variety of them, really, a variety of music. But I remember our house in Kaimuki on 4th Avenue. It was our grandfolks' old house, and my mom and dad took it over. And I remember every New Year's, we would have a luau. And mom and dad would kalua pig, and I'd dig the hole and do the whole thing. And everyone would, you know, make something and would have a feast. And Uncle Andy and his musicians, that's Uncle Andy Cummings, and musicians, and I remember Uncle Sonny, another aunt, my mother's sister's husband, get on the piano, but it was music always. You know, it was continuous.
It was your own live music you're talking about?
Oh, yes. So we kids were exposed to this all the time. As we grew older, Uncle Andy would be traveling, and we develop into our own music and start to, besides hula, you know, we'd try to sing a song or two. But at some point in time in my growing up years, I remember Uncle Andy and the Cummings family moved to the mainland. But when they moved back for just a spell while they were looking for a place, they stayed with us. And I remember attending Kamehameha schools. And Uncle Andy would say, when he'd see me coming home from school, he said, come, sit down over here. This is before doing homework. This is before doing anything. So I would sit on the steps with him, and he'd have this ukulele, and he'd be playing a song, or whatever instrument, if it was a mandolin, or, you know, because he played so many.
Was he known at that time as a composer?
Yes. And he was, I think this was my sophomore year at Kamehameha, or even my freshman, I can't remember. But in my early years, he was going to the Big Island, and he was working with a composer by the name of Jimmy Tucker. And Jimmy Tucker had the song Kainoa, but he didn't know how to write the music, to actually write it in music form. So Uncle Andy was helping him by putting it in meters and writing it and structuring it for him. So he was making these trips back and forth. So Uncle wanted me to listen to the song. And I said, okay. And I would come home from school, sit me down, and on our steps outside of the house, and he'd play this. He said, now I want you to learn this song. And that's how I started to learn Kainoa, which was a song that started me in the business.
It's a signature song.
It's one of the signature songs. Yeah.
How does it go?
I'm waiting on a warm and sunny seashore, yearning for the one that I adore. My heart is true, I'm thinking of you forever. I will love you, Kainoa.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, Andy Cummings is a heck of an uncle to get started in the music business with. Yeah. Now, I have to ask you something about him. He was, of course, one of the greatest hapa-haole composers ever. And he wrote Waikiki, which is another song you are known for.
Signature, yeah.
But I heard that he also tended to write songs about causes. I think he might have been against
like the
statehood.
In the pully?
Yeah, no puka in the pully, right? Because he didn't want to see the pully tunnel built.
Yeah, he did all of that.
Do you remember all that?
Oh, yes, I do. And I remember him singing it, too. You know,
How did it go? I've never heard it.
I can't remember it right now. Well, it was the puka and the pully. But when we would have these gatherings, you know, his group, which was made up of Gabby Pahinui, Uncle Andy, and Ralph Alapa'i, and all of these old folks, and they would come to the house and they would jam and they would practice. And you don't know all of this wealth of talent that's right there
with
you.
You don't realize these are very special people.
Exactly.
You think everybody's got uncles
exactly.
like this?
Yeah, and it was Uncle Gabby, and it was uncle all over the place, which is the way we are, right? And then as you grow older, and then you realize all of this talent that's right there with you and how privileged you've been through your younger years.
I don't think Uncle Gabby was at a whole lot of backyard luau. I think he was pretty selective.
Yeah, but you know, he was the baby in that group. So he was so kolohe. So when he played, you know, he was playing always from the soul and the heart and the seat of his pants. And he would just go into, you know, one song and the rest of them would just jam. But it was a nice experience through those young years.
You know, when Uncle Andy would call to you on the front porch, did he pick any of the other kids or did he sense something in you?
No one else. It was just I. And I don't know why. Because I would try to sing around the house. And I guess he would, you know, hear, oh, maybe there's a possibility here, you know, with this child. Or nothing in particular for him to just pick me out of
there. Never said anything to you about...
No, never did. Hmm. Never did. But all he said was he would help me with the phrasing. Then if I wasn't hitting the note, he'd make sure that I'd get up to it and would go over it over and over again.
What did he tell you about phrasing?
Like I'm waiting on a warm and you don't take a breath and say seashore. Mm-hmm. You're waiting on a warm and sunny seashore. Mm-hmm. So we say, you see what I'm saying? It's the complete thought. So it's you're waiting on a warm and sunny seashore. Yearning for the one that I had to say, you don't break up your phrases. Okay. So here you are, 10th grade, 9th grade. Okay, uncle. But this would go on sometimes for a couple of hours, and then my parents would step in. She has to do her homework, and she has chores to do, and so things of that sort. But
Did you have a disciplinarian family or
very,
structure?
Oh, yeah. Dad and mom were very, very much disciplinarians, yes. You know, and with five kids, I guess you would have to be, you know.
You went through Kamehameha schools, and then what?
You know, with all of the music, besides all of the complete education that one gets, but the beautiful music that the students do learn, and that's all the choral singing, and that became a learning process for me.
Yes, but I think you were doing it at a time when Hawaiian language was not in favor at Kamehameha.
Exactly.
So you got the music, but not necessarily the Hawaiian lyrics?
You would get the lyrics, but we didn't have, in those days, Hawaiian language was not taught at Kamehameha. This is my 50th reunion this year, so it's been 59, so 2009. So this would be 50 years for me. And back then, they didn't speak Hawaiian.
So you would sing Hawaiian songs and not know what they meant?
Exactly. Exactly. Or you would have to sit down, I would have to sit down with my parents, o kupuna, and ask, you know, what does this mean? What is this all about? Mm-hmm. Because the language wasn't spoken, because the language wasn't taught, you know.
Did your parents think you should learn the Hawaiian language? Probably not in that generation, right?
No, because they hardly spoke it at home. Rarely did they speak it at home. It was, you know, it was hush hush.
You've seen it come a long way.
I've seen it come a very long way.
Have you learned to speak Hawaiian since?
No. And I would love to.
You must hear it all around you now.
I do, I hear. And then you know your phrases and you know some things about Hawaiian, but that you can relate to. And yes, that I know. But to converse, no, I don't. But I would love to.
But you grew up at home and at school in an environment that uplifted music as a value in life.
Well, and at that time too, when I graduated from Kamehameha, and during that period of my later years at Kamehameha, as I said, you know, with all of the choral singing, the music that came from there, I thought it was just a natural. Mm-hmm. And so you apply it to oneself. And as you go to parties, and you're with friends, and you're sitting with an ukulele, and you're playing along with someone else who has an instrument, and you're carrying on. You're singing all of these songs, knowing basically what they all mean, but not completely and totally. But you're also bringing out what you've learned at the school. You know, all that was taught you. Because there's music appreciation, and so therefore you're learning all different facets of it.
So at this point in Marlene's life, the building blocks of her singing career are falling into place. A family that embraced the concept of kanikapila, the musical craftsmanship of her famed Uncle Andy Cummings, and an appreciation for music nurtured at the Kamehameha schools. Now, Marlene's side just needed to be discovered.
It was when I came out of Kamehameha, and the plan was to go, because it was full-on business courses that I was taking at Kamehameha, because that was my intent, to go on and further my education in business. And that was the concentration. I was working during that summer in travel. Matter of fact, Uncle Andy had gotten me a job, because he was with either Aloha or Hawaiian Airlines. So he got me this job in this travel agency, and I would sell tours and do all of these things and earn some money during the summer. Well, my friends got to have jobs and in the industry too, and so we would meet every Sunday. A good friend of mine, Vicki Hollinger, and this other gal, Norma, and I would meet at Joe's in Waikiki, because we were low on the totem pole. So we had to carry the Sunday, all of the Sunday work, and everyone else was home with their family, but we didn't care. We were young. So we pulled the Sunday duty. And when we were done, we always planned, okay, let's meet at Joe's, let's have lunch and everything, and then plan from there on what we're gonna do. This one particular weekend, we're at Joe's, and in comes, and the Beach Boys would always come over.
Because you were attractive young women?
And because I used to paddle, so I knew a lot of them too. So, you know, that was, you know, hi Jesse, hi, you know, Rabbit, hi, and all of this. So one day they're sitting around and everything and said, hey, you want to come down to this place? Our friend has a bar, restaurant bar, a club on the other side of the island, Kaneohe. He's taking care of it for his mom, and he manages the place. You folks want to go down next week? They have nice music, good music. Okay. So the next Sunday we plan and we all meet and we all get in the car and we're driving down. So one with the ukulele, another with the guitar, the top is down, and we're singing on our way down to Kaneohe from Waikiki. And we get to the other side of the island and we get into this park in the back, walk into this Honey's. And he's giving us a lowdown on who this guy is. He's a beach boy, and oh, they got great music. Sonny Chillingworth, Gary Iko, oh, these guys, good music. So we get there and we're hearing this music. Oh my gosh. So this guy comes over and he says, I want you to meet, this is Don Ho. I want you to meet Don. This is Marlene. Hey, this Wayne, he can sing. She was singing in the car. He had to call her up to sing. And this is her friend Vicky, and this is. So we sat there for a little bit and we're having our libations and having a nice time. He calls me up to sing. I said, oh gosh. Do you know Kainoa? If I sang it, do you think he could play it? Sing it to us, Sonny. So I hummed a little tune to him. He says, oh, I can get it, sure. So I sang Kainoa. They asked me to sing another song. I sang another song. And then I went and sat down. Before we left, he came up to me and he said, can you write your name and your address and your phone number just, you know, so I can get in touch with you? He said, okay. He says, well, what are your plans? I said, well, I'm planning to go to the university and I want to, you know, get my degree. And, oh, okay. Well, maybe you can make some money, you know, extra money. Think you might want to sing here? Sing? Really? Oh my gosh, how much are you going to charge? You know, how much am I going to get paid? And I'm asking all of these questions. He says, I'll call you. 1 week went by, 2 weeks went by. And I didn't hear from him. And I thought, oh gosh, put it out of my head completely. And I thought, okay, that guy was just all wah. One day I'm driving down Kalakaua and I'm looking in my rear view mirror and I see this, it looked like a Thunderbird and the top was down and I see this car darting in and out and it's approaching me. And this guy's hair is blowing, no shirt on, and he's coming up closer to me, and I'm getting nervous. So I roll up this window, and I'm going further, and he comes, and he's telling me to pull over. So I pull over, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, who in the world is this? Because I didn't recognize him. He got out of the car, came over to me, and I had the window up and he's knocking on the window and he's saying to me, you remember me? I was playing the organ for you. You remember me? And I'm thinking, what church is he talking about? I couldn't remember organ. Where? And then he said, you came to my place with Jesse when he said, Jesse, my place. And I said, oh,
Donnie, is that your window?
And I'm looking at, so I rolled my window down and I said, yeah. He said, I lost your number. He says, I don't know where I put the paper. I lost that. He said, I've been trying to get your phone number. So he asked me, he says, can you come down to the to Honey's tonight or tomorrow night? He says, I'd like to know if we can get some songs together. If you're still interested, I'd like for you to sing and maybe make some extra money. And that's really how it all started.
Singing at Honey's, and your boss was Don Ho.
And my boss was Don Ho, yeah. But things happened so fast because that night that I got down to Kaneohe. There were these men that were sitting there, Bill Murata, George Chun, and I didn't know who they all were, and they were all recording individuals, Herb Ono, and I'm not sure if Jack DeMillo was there too. And they were there to hear Sonny Chillingworth.
Because they were going to make a recording of him?
Right, right. Sonny pulled me over, he told me what was happening, and he said, don't worry about it, and just be comfortable, and we're just going to rehearse. We went to the rehearsal, and at the end of that time, Sonny said that a couple of the individuals wanted to talk to me about recording. I mean, it all happened that fast. So I said, what do I do? He said to me, don't worry, he says, just meet with them and go get a lawyer or somebody that you trust. And it just escalated from there. And in a matter of a short time, I mean, I was meeting Lucky Luck and Jimmy Walker, if I remember correctly.
Who's Jimmy Walker, another radio guy?
Yeah, he was a radio guy. And then Jeakuhead Pupule.
The top paid disc jockey in the world, yes. As they said.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, and things really started to escalate and really happened very fast.
And here you were, how old, 19?
No, 17, turning 18. I just got out of high school. And it was just that quick.
Quick indeed. What began as casual conversations with her Uncle Andy had now turned into the opportunity of a lifetime. In part two of our Long Story Short with Marlene Tsai, we'll hear the story of a highly unlikely recording studio that was the setting for one of her iconic songs. And we'll hear advice for anyone aspiring to pursue a career in music. Until then, thank you for spending this time with us. For Long Story Short and PBS Hawaii, I'm Leslie Wilcox. Ahui ho kako.
Long Story Short with Leslie Wilcox is produced in HD by PBS Hawaii with Sony Technology. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
I enjoy Donald. And you know, his nickname is Quack. Okay, you
knew. Donald Ho?
Yeah, you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he was Quack.
You were Goofy, and yeah. He was Quack.
Yeah, yeah. A matter of fact, all of the Beach Boys, everybody, all of his close friends called him Quack. Many of the songs that he recorded for all his Beach Boy Day songs, a lot of it. I tell this guy, you know, all of the different songs that he sang. And he would just sing it over and over and over at his shows. I loved them because it reminded me of my paddling days, you know? So it was good fun. Oh, but I didn't mean to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
Not at all.
Because he's different as we're talking, all of these different stories are just popping in my head, and it's just...
Well, just the idea that you call him Donald, and if you don't call him Donald, you call him Quack. And this is Don Ho we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I miss him.